Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a profile in leadership with Dr. David Shulkin. I'm Michael Keegan, your host. When I last spoke to Dr. Shulkin, he was VA Undersecretary for Health. We discussed many of the efforts he was pursuing to reform the way VA delivers health and provides care. The Veterans Integrated Systems Technology Architecture, or VISTA, VA's electronic health record, has robust capabilities, especially in clinical applications. Dr. Shulkin explained the VISTA Evolution Project, highlighting some of the accomplishments to date and what's next.
The VISTA Evolution Project is trying to take our current state of where our electronic medical record is and transforming it into a system that is better prepared to meet the needs in the future. And so when we developed our electronic medical record called VISTA, we actually have 130 different versions of VISTA. So every one of our medical center regions has customized it to meet their local needs. When I talked about one of my priorities was to get VA to function as a single integrated enterprise, this is a good example. In our electronic medical record, we have functioned in 130 different silos. And that has limited our ability to meet the future needs of veterans, because where healthcare is going today is it's using its data and allowing us to do analytics and to do practice changes in a single platform. So VISTA Evolution is allowing us to take those 130 versions and convert it into a single version of VISTA to allow us to meet the future needs of healthcare.
We also discuss progress around that seemingly intractable issue of interoperability. VA and DoD share millions of health records between systems today. Having the veteran's complete health record from both VA and DoD, as well as the community providers, is critical to providing seamless, high-quality access to care and benefits.
Well, in April of 2016, both DoD and VA certified that we have achieved interoperability. So, definitionally, we have met interoperability. We have done that through what you've referred to as the Joint Legacy Viewer, which means that if a veteran comes to us in VA or somebody is at DoD, we have the ability to view each other's records through a joint viewer. And so we can get access, and we're doing it, as you mentioned, hundreds of thousands of times a year, accessing these records so that we know what treatments have been done in each organization. But these are read-only functions, and so they are not really the full, true interoperability that one may imagine, which would be a seamless flow of information beyond only information gathering, read-only. And so in order to do that, we still have additional work to do. I think it is one of the frustrations of many. I hear it mostly from members of Congress who have said, look, you know, you're treating the same population of patients. We know where our future population of patients are coming from. They're coming from DoD. Why haven't you guys done this better? And I think that's an appropriate challenge for both the VA and the leaders of DoD to, in the future, figure out ways, particularly as healthcare gets more advanced and analytics get more advanced, for us to expand on our definition of interoperability. So while we celebrate the achievements that we've made to date, I think we still have more work to do.
Admittedly, interoperability isn't the only area where work needs to be done. Long deployments, intense combat conditions require comprehensive support for the emotional and mental health needs of our veterans and their families. Dr. Shulkin shared with me VA's effort in this area, all the while recognizing that more needs to be done.
Well, there is no other system in the country that has extensive behavioral health care services like the VA. We provided health care to 1.6 million veterans last year in behavioral health. We have extensive numbers of psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, suicide prevention coordinators, all dedicated to the behavioral health of our veterans. And we integrate behavioral health into our primary care settings, unlike any other healthcare system in the country, so that you don't have to have the stigma of going to a mental health clinic. You can get your mental health services as part of your primary care. And we delivered over 1 million visits in primary care mental health integration last year. We also provided 336,000 visits of mental health using telehealth services. So you can get access to qualified professionals to help, even if there aren't local healthcare professionals in your community. So VA is using these unique models of healthcare to help veterans in behavioral health. Having said that, we still have far too many people who are going untreated. Of the 20 veterans a day that take their life through suicide, which is just an alarming figure, something that we're just not willing or able to accept, and we're treating it as a national crisis. Of those 20 veterans a day, 14 of them don't get their care in the VA healthcare system, which means that they may be out there isolated, not getting the care that they need. And so we're working hard with community organizations and national groups to try to identify veterans at risk and get them the help that they need in the VA healthcare system, because we know that that saves lives.
Saving lives is a core mission for VA, and expanding the use of data analytics to enhance clinical decision-making efforts goes a long way to achieving that core mission in a 21st century context. That is, data and analytics to improve health outcomes.
Well, this is an area that I think that VA has been working on quite some time, and as the field gets more advanced, VA's leadership in this will become clearer. We have a 30-year history of electronic information, and so our databases are quite extensive. And we have been working with analytics to use it to help veterans get better health care. We were just talking earlier about suicide. So one of the tools that we're taking from our research lab into practice this month is what we call ReachVet. It is an analytics tool that helps identify veterans at risk of suicide. And we are proactively reaching out to those veterans and contacting them and saying, how can we help? How are you doing? You know, would you like to come in? Are there resources that we might have that could help you? And so that's an example of how we're using analytics, bring it into the clinical setting and hopefully helping save lives. We're actually partnering with IBM Watson to identify veterans' specific genomic sequencing and help target the right therapies to veterans so that they can get the very best possible therapy for their specific tumor. And this is a way that VA not only is using its analytic capabilities, but leveraging with the best technology and the best companies out there to help veterans get better outcomes.
Another way VA is pursuing better health outcomes involves advances in genomic medicine, and specifically the application of precision medicine. Dr. Shulkin elaborates.
When you take a look at precision medicine and you take a look at molecular type research, VA actually started a program called the Million Veterans Program in 2009. And today, VA has the largest database in the country of genomic material of patients. We have over 500,000 veterans now in our data registry and in our storage tanks in Boston. And we are able to match that genomic data with the electronic medical records that we've had for veterans for 25 or 30 years. And we are doing research studies that no one else in the country can do. As part of this, we're actually helping the Precision Medicine Initiative at NIH get launched. Mm-hmm. And so we have signed a intra-agency agreement with the NIH in order to help support them in their precision medicine initiative. But it's VA today that is leading the country in these types of initiatives.
Beyond these important initiatives, we should not forget that there is a nation of hidden heroes out there. In my discussion with Dr. David Shulkin, he recognized the crucial role that family caretakers play. They're partners in helping our veterans as they recover from injury and illness.
VA is unique in its role in supporting family caregivers. We support currently 23,000 caregivers who are helping our veterans throughout the country. And we actually hope to expand that program. And there are some legislative proposals pending that would allow us to do that. But these are so critical to the health of our veterans. And if it weren't for these caregivers and our support for them, our veterans may be forced to leave their homes and be put in institutions or be readmitted to hospitals or have to have much more extensive treatment. One of our research programs has demonstrated that people who have caregivers at home are able to access our primary care services and our specialty services more, which means that they're getting the care that they need because of those caregivers, and that's preventing them from having to be in the hospital or in other types of institutions. So we believe this is not only the right thing to do for veterans, we actually think it's the right thing to do also for taxpayers, because it's the most economical way of providing the support for veterans that is in their homes. VA is recognizing that people who don't have family members still need caregivers. We are providing home health support, and we certainly do not restrict our caregiver program to family members. There needs to be that type of commitment to be in the program, and people need to qualify that they're willing to make that commitment. But we recognize that there are many people who can play the role of caregivers.
What advice does Dr. David Chulkin have for those thinking about a career in medicine or public service or both? I will explore this question and so much more when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Profile in Leadership, returns.